No doubt you have been at a concert and been bothered by the slightest cough. Why so? Because of your deep participation in the music. You have been at a lecture or sermon and find yourself surprised at how much time has gone by. How so? Because you were so deeply engrossed in the message. Or what about the times that you have been at the sick bed of a loved one? No one speaks. And yet the air is thick with communication. All these are examples of participation. Participation in the ideas or beauty or suffering of another. The examples I gave are truly the highest forms of participation, even though nothing seems to be going on. What is the listener doing? What is the friend of the sufferer doing? Nothing. Well, nothing in a superficial sense, but everything in the deepest sense. What about the Mass? Are you fully participating in the deepest sense? I am Father Perricone, and welcome to the most glorious act, our conversations on the Mass.
Throughout time, many attempted to influence the course of the world. From Alexander the Great to Julius Caesar, from Albert Einstein to Madame Curie, they have left their imprint on history. Yet only one man changed the future everywhere, forever. To all he offered eternal life, he was God made man. Today, his sacrifice is present in the Most Holy Mass. You too can take part in it.
Participation has to do with, what shall we say? Engagement. Participation is a connection with someone. And participation is absolutely essential in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. What would the Mass be if Father were on the altar offering the Holy Sacrifice and you were in your seat playing Scrabble? You were there, but you wouldn't really be there. Or say, Father's offering the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and you're in your pew thinking about what you're baking that night, or the test you have to take the next morning, or the person who offended you or betrayed you. Well, you would be at Mass, physically, but would you really be at Mass? Would you be participating? No. Participation, at its deepest form, is connection. It is engagement with another person, and that takes attention. Now, the Church is very concerned about our participation. To demonstrate that, she talks about how our Lord participates with us and how in turn we must participate with him. She again is going to use some technical words here that might in the beginning make you a bit afraid, but it really helps to understand them so as to understand the Church's mind about participating in Christ's most perfect act. She first of all teaches that when the priest does at the altar exactly what he should do, that is, if he uses the words that the Church gives him, say at the Mass when he says, "This is my body and this is my blood," if he is being sure to use unleavened bread and wine, and as long as he is a validly ordained priest, if those three things are in place, the words, the matter, the bread and wine, and the fact that he's legitimately ordained, then the sacrifice of Calvary happens. By him performing the act. There's no necessity for him to look at his audience. There is no necessity for him to give tone and glamour to his voice. There is no necessity for him to be a good-looking priest. No necessity for him to be a kind priest at that point. All that's necessary, the church says, is that he does what he's supposed to do. And that is to read the words the church gives him, to have the proper elements before him, and to have been an validly ordained priest. And then by that act, Calvary happens. The church, in a very pithy phrase, talks about that as ex opere operato, that by performing the action itself, our Lord comes down for all of us to feed us with his body and blood and soul and divinity at the Mass, and that goes for all the other sacraments as well. But our Lord doing what he is supposed to do through the priest, because he only can do it through the priest, is not sufficient. You and I have to be there with him. We must be participating. Or else we can receive no grace. That part that it belongs to me, that part where I connect with our Lord with all my attention, is given a phrase by the church, ex opere operantes, by the work of the person receiving. Of the work of the person receiving. That's me and you, if you are at Mass. And with full attention, I am able to receive all that our Lord wills to give me. How important that notion of participation is. St. Paul Pius X said, my goodness, at the very beginning of the 20th century, in his glorious pontificate, that Catholics should not pray at Mass. Catholics should pray the Mass. He was very afraid that some Catholics might decide to do their favorite novenas at Mass, or perhaps pray the Rosary at Mass, do other prayers at Mass, and what they would be missing are the beautiful prayers that are at Mass itself. They would miss the opportunity to offer themselves as the priest in the place of Christ is offering himself to the Father. And what a tragedy that would be. We must pray the Mass, and that means to be engaged, to be connected with what the priest is doing. Now we're amplifying it even further. Our Lord has come and given everything to you at the Mass. What are you giving back to him? Are you participating in the Mass? So oftentimes we tend to think, because of the culture we live in, that full and active and conscious participation means doing a lot of things. But we're human beings and we recognize, as I said before, that participation at the deepest level means connection with, intimacy with. And oftentimes it begins. And its most important part is in here. Like when you're listening to that concert, you don't want to hear another person stir, because it's very important that you are intensely participating, connecting with the music at the bed of that loved one who's not able to move his hands any longer, but he hears you. My goodness, how deeply united you are with him. That is the kind of participation that we must begin to talk about in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. This is what the church means. Think before you speak. How often we heard that from our mothers and teachers. Think before you speak. That old truism, like all truisms, is precisely a truism because it's so true. Because it is so true, we learn it from our mothers from the time we are old enough to speak. Since truths are like icebergs, there is always more truth to them that meets the eye. That little phrase taught to us by our mothers is the key to true participation at Mass. Think before you speak. Even a key to how the saints participated at Mass. But what do we mean? Stay tuned.
Daily prayer to the Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart of Jesus, today I wish to live in you, in your grace, in which I desire at all costs to persevere. Keep me from sin and strengthen my will by helping me to keep watch over my senses, my imagination, and my heart. Help me to correct my faults, which are the source of sin. I beg you to do this, O Jesus. Through Mary, your Immaculate Mother. Amen.
Truths are like icebergs, and there is always more to them than meets the eye. That adage, think before you speak, exemplifies what we mean. The beginning of all conversation begins in understanding something. That takes place inside. Participation in any important reality first begins inside. It is interior. Since the Mass is the most glorious act, its participation is principally and at its beginning interior. Let me give you an example to help you understand what I mean. There is a Mass going on in a magnificent cathedral somewhere in the world. And there are a group of students present. Let's say they're art students. And they are there with their pads and pencils. And they are fascinated first by the soaring arches in the church. And then they see the priest taking out this bejeweled chalice. They see him wearing sumptuous vestments. The altar rail, the statues, the stained glass windows, and they are jotting things down hurriedly and furiously and with great attention. In the back, you have an old man who has been afflicted with a stroke. He can't move his arms, his hands any longer. He can't even use his mouth to speak. He can see, but can do nothing else. And he's staring at the altar. Can't sing when the others are singing, can't say responses when the others are responding, but he's sitting there in his wheelchair, and he's looking at the priest, and if you look at him closely enough, you begin to see tears coming down his cheeks. Tell me something. Which one is really participating in the Mass? Those students with their tremendous creativity and intellect, pads and pencils, or that man who is in the back of church, able to do nothing, paralyzed? The answer is very simple. The old man. Why? Participation means to be fully engaged in and connected with the act of love that Christ is performing on the altar for me, and that he needs to have me reciprocate. What do you notice then? You notice three things about participation. There are three levels. The church, at the first level of participation, has in mind something that is invisible. The first and most fundamental act of participation is the fact that we are baptized. That sacramental character which is given to us when we are baptized as infants or as converts. At that baptism, we are given a power to be able to join ourselves to the priest at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We are given the power to be able to receive Holy Communion as well as all the other sacraments. That is the first sign of participation. The sacramental character of baptized Catholics makes us able, gives us that initial connection that we need. I am assuming in my example that the group of art students were not baptized. They were not Catholics. And so even though their intellect is racing as they see what they see, nothing is happening for them. Because there's no baptismal character. That's the first thing that Mother Church means by participation. Second, the Church means that we must be connected with what our Lord is doing in a way that we understand fully all that is going on, and that understanding leads me to make acts of love to the Savior. Oh yes, the other things that are surrounding me are going to help. The stained glass windows and the statues and the beautiful crucifix. The way the priest is dressed so splendidly for the offering of the sacrifice, the golden vessels. But those are secondary compared to the reality of me saying, our Lord is offering himself up here exactly as he did on Calvary. And I must love him for this. I must promise him my fidelity. I must tell him that I am willing to make any sacrifices that are necessary for me to be conformed unto him. That is the second level that the Church calls interior. And that can have all kinds of dimensions. All kinds of things are happening in our intelligence as good Catholics when we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And our ideas, what we know, leads us to love more. And all of that is so important. That is what was happening to that old man sitting in the back of church in his wheelchair. He was not able to respond back to the priest and the responses. He was not able to move his hands. He was not able to sing in any of the hymns. But there was such an intense participation that very likely we would be able to say that it pleased our Lord so much, interior participation. Mind you, there's something else that that old man was able to do. He was listening. Listening is such a vital kind of connection. Do you ever find yourself listening to a priest or listening to a very good orator, and even though you are doing nothing, you find your head going up and down because there is a total engagement in what the speaker is saying. You could feel with your heart and understand and almost want to leap up into action, though you are doing none of those things, simply because the participation is so vital. It is so intense. In my example, the man has tears rolling down his cheeks. That's evidence enough. He knows what's going on. And he loves our Lord so very much because of what's going on. I might even be tempted to say that he is participating perhaps more than those who are singing the hymns loudly and promptly responding to the priest with the responses. I'm not saying that's necessarily the case. But what the Church wants to tell us is that the participation of heart and soul is so important. And sometimes we can be doing a lot with our lips, saying a lot, but we might be missing the most important part of all, that vital participation of heart and of soul. Now, the Church does say that there is a third level of participation. Remember the first level, is the sacramental character of baptism. That gives us the capacity to go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass and to do what Our Lady and St. John the Apostle and St. Mary Magdalene did on Calvary. We are configured to Christ because of that baptism. And so we can receive graces and merits. That's the first participation. The second is interior, to understand and to love. The third, the Church calls a fuller participation, a fuller participation. And that, and by that she means, the fact that we can give responses to the priest, the fact that we can sing the hymns, full participation. But oftentimes that fuller participation means being present at Mass where glorious polyphony and chant is being performed. Because sometimes, even though I can't sing the chant with the choir, it makes no difference because it moves me so deeply to such acts of love that it is a grand act of participation. And Cardinal Ratzinger, in a book written a few years ago, talked about the value of Gregorian chant, and he talked about the value of the organ, which holds pride of place in all our churches at helping us to participate. He says, the organ has always been called simply the instrument as opposed to all others. The organ is a theological instrument, and the Church's liturgy has a compelling mandate to reveal in resonant sound the glorification of God, which is expressed most perfectly by the organ. Helps us to participate, because listening is such an important part of real, active, and conscious participation, which is the will of the Church for you and me. If you want a model of perfect participation at Mass, you must go to the first Mass, Calvary. Look at the first participants. You will find the model there. Not St. John or St. Mary Magdalene. Yes, they were deeply involved in our Lord's suffering through love, but their sins kept them from true participation, as with us. The model is Our Lady. Without words, without melodrama, she united her broken heart, broken seven times by seven swords, to her Son's sacred heart in a perfect act of love. The Church wants of us an active, full, and conscious participation at Mass. She always has. Now tell me, what better way of doing it than to imitate Christ's mother? I am Father Perricone. Please join me next time for the most glorious act, our conversations on the Mass. Thank you.
Thank you.